Amen. I think about how in missions conference all the world, how many of them need to hear, you know, all is forgiven, all is forgiven, come home. And not just here in America, but all around the world. And couldn't help but think of Brother Herring. She talking about the Father, amen. I guarantee you that a great man, many of you may not have known him, but was very blessed to have him as one of my teachers in college. And thank God for the influence of his life, Lyndall's father. And so tonight we have Brother Mormon. We're going to turn it over to you, brother. We have several brand new people to our church, and this is their first missions conference. So if you would take the time, many of us know what Helps Ministry is about. We're very familiar, but some are not. So if you'd take time. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Pastor. Help Ministry, helping evangelize lost people. Started by a man here in your church, Brother Scotty Drake, and several pastors in the Tampa area. Got a burden to help foreign national pastors. Their burden started in Mexico. He and some other pastors were on a mission trip there. Got up into the mountains in some of the poorer regions of Mexico and found pastors walking from post to post and ministry to ministry. And so they started buying bicycles for these men. And when they wore the bicycles out, they bought them scooters. Then they thought, you know, if we could bring these men actually to America and get them in independent fundamental Baptist churches just like yours, the people of God in America are big-hearted and generous and love missions and love seeing lost people saved in the world. Maybe they could get a helping hand from some of the American people that have been so richly blessed by God. And the pastor's talking about giving to faith promise. If I could, just give a little more than you did last year. Give a little more than, promise a little bit more than you did last year. Trust God just a little bit more than you did last year. And so normally we bring 8 men to Florida. Some of the other states also bring 8 men into Georgia, North Carolina, West Virginia, some of the larger states that our help missionaries get to go to. And we have 3 men that you'll get to meet. They'll all be here on Sunday. We had 4. One was from Mexico. His wife is expecting and had to be put to bed rest before the child would be born. So he had to go home and take care of his wife and young family. So pray for Abraham. And you can imagine with COVID what it's done to international flights and these guys trying to get visas out of their country to come to America. And we've had difficulty over the last 2 years, as you probably know already. But we were able to have 4. One went home. We're down to 3. But these are good men doing a good work, know the language, know the culture, live amongst the people that they're witnessing to and winning to Christ. And it doesn't take nearly so much of the American dollar to put one of these dear brothers or to give them a helping hand. They're already there doing a good work. And I tell you, my wife and I give to it every month, the help ministry, and we're trying to lay up some more treasure in heaven. And I'm excited about one day in heaven when we get to meet all the people in all the world that came to Christ because of what the American Christians did to help win the world to Jesus Christ. I'm going to have Brother Peter from Kenya. Come, Brother Peter, take a few moments. Tell the folks how many churches you've planted and what you're doing.
Good evening. I would like to ask you if you can allow me to sing one song, just a stanza and a chorus in Kiswahili. Okay. If you allow me, I can sing it. Okay. It says, no friend like Jesus. Apana rafiki kama Yesu. Yu peke, apana mposi kama Yesu. You peke, Yesu ajua shida zetu, awe kutuongoza apa na rafiki kama Yesu yupeke. Amen. My name is Peter Angolo Owaga from Kenya. I'm saved. I love Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I was saved in the night like now when a person from this land came all the way from this land to Nairobi, Kenya, then drove over 10 hours to the bush where I live. He brought Jesus film. When this film was yet over, they preached the gospel, and there where I got my salvation, I realized that I was a sinner. I needed to be saved. So when I went back home, I went a different person as I went to the Jesus to watch the film. I went back home when I was very happy because my name was now written in the book of life. After that, I joined Bible school in Kisumu, Kenya, which I joined in the year 1990. When it reached 1992, I graduated. And I went back home. God put a burden in my heart concerning lost souls. Me and my wife, we started knocking souls, bringing people to Jesus Christ. When I saw people were coming to Christ, I just asked myself, what next? You know, when people are coming, keep on coming, and you have been taught everything, I saw that the need is now to start a church. I started my first church, I planted the first church, second church, and now I've planted 5 churches. Amen. Which are not enough. I sat down again and set my own goal. I said that as long as I am still alive, I need to plant 120 plus churches. When I said that, some people do doubt, how can that happen? I know, with myself, I cannot do that. But God says, with God, all things are possible. Amen. By this, I started again training men of God. I have a Bible school which have 8 students. These students, they help me reach the goal which myself have set. In my heart, I know that they will help me reach the goal. That is why I'm teaching them. Because I borrowed this idea from the book of 2 Timothy 2:2, which says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. So these people I'm teaching, I know God will put burden on in their hearts also, as he put in me. They will keep on. If they keep on reaching souls for Jesus Christ, then this is the method I used, that I will reach 120 plus churches. With your prayers and our prayers, I know it is possible. So now, my prayer, which I will tell you to help us pray for my family. I lost my wife in the year 2017 on 10th, because the devil was not happy when I had already set the goal. She knows how my wife was helping me in the ministry. So I'm not afraid because God is able. I'm now happy again because God has given me a new wife on 8th January this year, whom helped me to serve the Lord. My prayer, where I trained people, in Kenya we have water crisis. I was praying if God can open a way where I train them, we can drill or we can dig a well near the church, because we go over 4 miles for water, walking every day. So I ask prayers if God can open way that we get water. This water will help the school, will help the community, and even those people who are going far away with me. I know when we dig the water, near them. They will not go to the river. As the time they will come to draw this water, we will use this water as a tool to pass word of God to them also. Here we will teach them the word of God. We will give them gospel tracts. So I think this will help us. So pray for my family. I'm going home on Tuesday. I've been here for nearly 3 months. I'm going home on Tuesday 7th. So pray for my way back home and my family. May God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Brother Peter.
Thank you.
Help Ministry is, I believe, 26 years old. We have over 700 men like this that we've helped get support to. So they're starting hundreds and hundreds of churches every year, these 700 men. So let me just say this to you, dear folks, just to remind you. You already know it, but sometimes you need to be reminded, because if you're like me, your memory can get pretty short at times. You're in a mightily blessed by God church. Every time you come, when you drive on these grounds, you ought to say, thank you, God, for what you've done here in Haines City. You've had great leadership. You have great leadership. And every time I come, my heart is just stirred. What you folks do for missions, it's amazing. God bless you. And Pastor, thank you for allowing me the privilege to be here to speak. And I've always appreciated that Brother Carter gave me that privilege when I would come. And open your Bible, please, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6 and find verse 26. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. Matthew 26, verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit or a foot and a half unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles, or the unsaved, seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, church, do we believe that? Do we believe that if we put the kingdom of God first, that God would take care of our everyday needs? I am trying to do more. I'm going to see God before long, and I'm going to tell you, there are a few areas in my life that need to be shored up. One of them is to stop worrying so much. I'm not a betting man, but I bet there's a few worry warts around here. I pastored for 42 years, and I tell you, Christian people can be worry warts even though they have the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart. They have God taking care of their needs. They're going to go to heaven forever, and they worry. God help us. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, God says, trust me. God says, I am your heavenly Father. I know what your needs are. Look to me. Depend on me. Pray more and quit worrying so much. Right. I got your back. God cries out, live by faith. We sang some great songs, and I was thinking, if we would just do that, turn your eyes upon Jesus. If we would just, when trouble, I'm not trying to belittle the trouble that you and I have. Satan makes sure we have the Garden of Eden took care of all of that. But folks, when we have difficulty, we have a God in heaven who is going to look after us. Now, there's a lot going on in our world that people worry about. Relationships, wars, the White House, the economy, our health, COVID, another strand of it. What's going on in the schools, our gas prices, neighborhood crime going up, job security, getting older, having illnesses. There are so many things to worry about if you're not careful. I normally, before I use this illustration, try to find out who the richest guy in the church is, but I forgot to ask your pastor that. So, but anyhow, I heard about the richest guy in your church. In his second child, he went and spent $450,000 on a Lamborghini. Took it out of the showroom and took off down the highway and was just speeding away. Couldn't maneuver a corner in his new, wonderful, wonderful sports car. Lost control, got thrown out of it. It went down a hill, caught on fire, burning up. He's knocked out, laying on the highway, and some guy comes by, and there he is in a pile, and they finally get him alert and awake a little bit, and he says, "My Lamborghini, my Lamborghini." Somebody said, "Well, it's down there burning up." "Oh, I lost my Lamborghini. I lost my Lamborghini." And the fellow said, "That ain't the worst of your troubles, buddy. But the lower half of your arm's gone." He said, "Oh, I lost my Rolex. I lost my Rolex." Listen, you're going to make a commitment to missions. And I've been there. I'm still there with you, still making faith promises to my church. And I have never, ever done without when I, and my wife and I gave thousands and thousands of dollars, especially when I pastored. We never hungered. We never missed anything. Trust God. Trust God. There's somebody in a remote part of the world that needs you to trust God. Stop your worrying. You know, you can go to church and talk to people. It's just like going to the mall and talk to people. We moan and gripe and complain as much as the lost person does usually. Why? Why do we worry so much? Isn't God going to take care of me? If you want to define sin, it's derived from an old Anglican Saxon word meaning to strangle or to choke. When you start worrying, just think of this. What is the definition of worry? Strangling or choking? And if we think worrying is going to solve any problems, it will not. Faith will, but worry will not. So when you worry, you're having the life choked out of you. What happens when a person worries? When a Christian worries, he has a divided mind. What did James say? A double-minded, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let's not go to heaven with a double mind, unstable in all of our ways. Worry, well, next time you read your Bible too, once you take a marker, every time you find the word worry in your Bible, I want you to highlight that. Don't bother getting a highlighter because the word worry is not in your Bible. But you know what worry is? It's a sin. God had Moses leading the children of Israel right up to the shore to go into the promised land, and he got talked into sending out spies. 12 men went over and 10 came back and said, "We don't care what God says. They're giants over there. We're like grasshoppers. They're going to step on us. We cannot take what God says we could take." Right. You know what happened to the whole bunch of them? God says, well, if you got that kind of lack of faith, back to the wilderness wandering, and every one of you that's 20 years old and older are going to die out here in 40 years. What put them back there? Disobedience and lack of faith. It's not just like a habit of biting your fingernails, folks. When I worry, it's a sin. It says, God, I'm not sure you can take care of this. How do you overcome it? Two things, the message won't be long. First of all, you need to learn to rejoice. I'm going to read you a couple verses out of Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Whenever I have something to deal with, I need to remember how good God has been to me. I need to rejoice in the goodness of my Savior. So my life needs to be more occupied with singing his praises, having a song in my heart. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So there are some days you just need to make yourself rejoice. Amen. I mean, sometimes troubles pile up. And if you're not careful, you can start and end the day and you've done very little rejoicing because you have been worrying. Read about this newspaper article in Tacoma, Washington. Tattoo, a basset hound, did not intend to go for an evening run. But when his owners shut the car door, the rear car door, he got the leash in the car door. So when the car drove off, Tattoo, who had not wanted to go for an evening walk, went for an evening run. A motorcycle officer had come down the street soon after the man left the home with the dog on the outside of the car, and he flagged the man down and stopped him. He said, boy, the little basset hound was picking him up and putting him down. He rolled over several times before he got him stopped. The dog was a little banged up and he was okay, but he refused to go for any walks again. And isn't that what sometimes happens in your life? You don't want another day to dawn like what you just went through. I know what it is to have cancer. I know what it is, the doctor, to say, Mr. Mormon, you've got cancer. We've got to operate on you next week. I know what it is to lose loved ones. Who here doesn't know that? Life is tough. But I have a God in heaven that I can turn to and get peace in my heart and rejoice. God is good. Amen. Pity the poor man outside that doesn't know that. Then we need to learn to rely. I don't know if Learning to Lean, that's a good song, isn't it, song leader? Learning to lean, learning to lean, learning to lean on Jesus. Rely on the Lord. Is this book true? Is it trustworthy? It's the anchor to your faith and to your soul. Let's rely on it. God gave us this precious book. Wow, what a good God we have. Well, I'd like to get to a place I worry about nothing. Okay, here's a simple way. Pray about everything. To worry about nothing, pray about everything. Amen. Pastor, you may be the only one here that's heard this illustration before. I preached here probably 30 years ago and told this. I pastored for 40 years in Maryland, and we would leave on vacation to head south to Florida to come down here where all my family lived to mooch off of them for 2 weeks and get a cheap Florida vacation. We had a couple from my church that were going to Tennessee Temple, and so we went through Chattanooga before we came on down to Tampa. We got there, the temperature was 104 degrees in Chattanooga. They lived in a little tiny apartment, and the only air conditioner was in their little bedroom. And so my family, the five of us, and Ross was off to work, so Patsy and her little baby was there. Seven of us were in the bedroom sitting on the bed, sweltering at 104 degrees with a little tiny air conditioner. Well, Patsy said, "Hey, out here on the outskirts of Chattanooga, the Church of God has a campground. In that campground, they got a swimming pool. They got a side for men and a side for women with an 8-foot concrete wall in between." Well, I'd never swum with Pentecostals before, but I figured maybe God would forgive me since it was 104 degrees. So I got it to the pool and dove into the deep end. Hadn't any more come up, and this fellow, about 70, was up on the diving board, and I made sure when he dove in, he wasn't going to be hindered by me being out in the deep end. And he dove in and came up spitting and sputtering and said, "Whoo, about lost my trunks." And then he came swimming over to me, and I thought, how do all the weird people in the world find me? I don't know what they do, I'm telling you. And he said, "You a Church of God man?" I said, "No, I'm a Baptist man." He said, "Are you a saved Baptist man?" I said, "Yes, sir, I am a saved Baptist man." He said, "I just thought I'd ask. I've met a few unsaved Church of God men." Well, I swam over to the side of the pool and was hanging on. He followed me, and he began to tell me a little bit about his life. His dad was a Pentecostal preacher when he was growing up, him and two younger brothers. He said one day he was about 7 or 8 years old. His family was traveling up to New Hampshire area. His dad had been asked to come up and preach. They didn't have much money. This was back in the 1930s. There were no McDonald's, no Biff Burgers or anything that along the highway. And he told me, his name was Preacher Brown, Brother Brown, said, me and my two brothers started saying, "Mama, Mama, we're hungry. Mama, Mama, we're hungry." Mama would turn around and say, "Now, shh. We don't have any money to eat. We'll get some money when Daddy gets to preach. Just be quiet." That, he said, that helped for a little bit. And pretty soon, "Mama, Mama, we're hungry." She said, "Okay, boys, we don't have any money to buy food, but we're going to pray for food. Let's bow our heads." He said he looked at this brother, looked at that brother. Mama began to pray. "Oh God, you said if we put the kingdom of God first, you'd provide all of our needs. Lord, you know we don't have money. There's no place to stop to feed our family. Our boys are hungry. Oh God, would you bless and feed my boys? In Jesus' name, amen." The little boys looked up after Mama said amen, and Daddy had pulled up behind a truck in the road that was driving down the road in front of them, and there was a bump in the road. He said when the truck hit the bump, it had a bunch of crates in the back, and he said one of those crates come right up out of that truck, came right toward them, and landed right smoothly in front of them on the road. Dad stopped real quick and pulled off and went to pick it up. It was full of fruits. Fresh picked fruits. And they said, "Well, the truck's gone out of sight. We'll never catch up to them." And they said, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God." Now, I hate to be outdone by Pentecostals, don't you? I really do. Don't you and me have a God like that? Amen. I'm such a blessed man. I shouldn't worry so much. God holds the key of all the unknowns, and I am glad. If other hands should hold the key, or if he trusted it to me, I might be sad. What if tomorrow's cares were here without its rest? I'd rather he unlocked the day, and as the hours swing open, say, my will is best. The very dimness of my sight makes me secure, for groping in my misty way, I feel his hand, I hear him say, my help is sure. I cannot reach or read his future plans, but this I know. I have the smiling of his face and all the refuge of his grace while here below. Go with me one last time to the pool there in Chattanooga. This 70-year-old, recently retired preacher Brown hung on the side of the pool, and he said, let me tell you another story. He said, oh, I was about 9, 10 years old. My daddy wanted to go to Delaware and start a church. He found on the outskirts of town a little store that had been shut down. It was kind of, some of you will remember, it had a staircase on the outside that went up to a living quarters up on top of the old store. And Daddy had rented it, and they were living up there. Well, they had just gotten there and had no money, had very few people they had gathered there together, and so Dad was off looking for odd jobs so that he could earn some money to take care of the living and the feeding of the family. And Brother Brown said, we got hungry again. Mama! Mama, we're hungry. Where's Dad? Mama! We're hungry. Where's Papa? She said, he's off looking for work so that he'll get some money so he can feed us. Mama, we're hungry. She said, okay, boy, sit down at the table. We're going to pray for food. He said he sat down with his brothers and looked at this brother, looked at that brother, bowed his head. Mama began to pray. Oh, God, I know we can trust you, but Lord, I don't know what we're going to do. Please give Dad a job so that he can earn some money. But Lord, our boys are hungry. Oh God, please, in Jesus' name, would you bless and provide for us? Amen. He looked at me and he said, Mama had just said amen. And we heard a horn, toot, 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 down on the road. Mama went to the door and opened the door and looked down. There was a dear old black man down there with an old pickup truck. You the preacher's wife? Yes, I am. Well, God done told me to bring you some groceries. And he brought up two armloads of sacks of grocery and put them on the table. Brother Brown said, Mama started getting that feeling. Oh, God, thank you. He said, it ain't all. Got a ham in the truck. He went downstairs, and Mama's starting to get excited. Put the ham on the table. Mama's thanking God, thanking this dear brother she'd never met before. And he said, ain't all. God told me to give you $20. He looked at me, and he said, the only thing we could think of is we're never going to eat because Mama ain't ever going to be through praising the Lord. Make your commitment. Trust God. When trouble comes, and it will, you'll have some bumps this new year. Life is not going to change much. Trust God. Rejoice. Rejoice in his goodness. Think of all the wonderful days you never had a problem. Rejoice. Learn to rely. The way to worry about nothing is to pray about everything. But my God shall supply all your needs through Christ Jesus. I'll just ask you this and turn it over to your pastor. Are you a worrier or a truster? We're one or the other. I'm trying to be more in the camp of the truster. and I hope that we all will be. Jesus is coming soon. Let's get busy working on it. Amen.
Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed as the musicians make their way. Why don't you go ahead and step out and come tonight? God spoke to your heart and said, why don't you come and leave some worries at the altar tonight? Pick up some trust in me. I'm going to take it home with you. As the musicians play and Brother Bert sings, why don't you step out and come?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Maybe you found your way into church tonight and you're not sure that if you died today that you'd be in heaven. Well, we'd love for you to know that. Well, we talked about trusting, and the surefired way, the only way, is through Jesus Christ our Lord to be saved. And if you've never accepted Him as your Savior, we want to invite you. The invitation is a time for you to step out and come. And if you've never received Jesus, I wish you'd step out and come and let me take the Bible and show you how you can be saved tonight as Brother Bert sings.
The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
That was a good message for us tonight, amen. We live in a day where this world pandemic or plandemic or whatever you want to call it, that seems to be never ending, has got a lot of people. It started out with worry. It's continued with worry. And it looks like they're going to try to start up a whole new campaign of worry. And the best way, the only point that I would add is turn off the television to the message tonight, and it'd be real easy to not worry, but to trust. Amen. That this book right here, this channel right here won't bring worry. It'll bring trust. Amen. And so, listen, I know that every one of us tonight, we heard a great message of trusting in the Lord, and we heard a lot about a Pentecostal, amen, that trusted in God and saw God work out. But each one of us have our own story in our family, and maybe you just starting out in your journey with the Lord Jesus Christ, but if you trust Him, you'll have stories too. Amen. Maybe not of, there's nothing to eat, but you'll see when God came through just when you need Him for you and your family, if you'll trust Him. We'll pray tonight and we'll be dismissed in prayer, but I ask you to come out, church, as after we pray, if you men would just stay here and let the church come by and talk with you just a moment. We appreciate you doing it. Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. Dear Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity you've given us tonight, Lord, to set aside worry, but to again join you in a trust, not only in our salvation to know where we're going to spend eternity, but with our day-to-day lives and our families. God, I pray that you'd help us as a people to grip hold of God and realize He is our rock and that He is a solid foundation for every day of our lives, and not to worry, but to trust day by day and everything for you. In Jesus' name, amen.